Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18. And Lord willing, we're going to be over the next several weeks, whenever I have opportunities on Sunday night, to be dealing with the subject of Christian friendship. Christian friendship. And with the subtitle, We Need Each Other. We Need Each Other. Because I'm hearing from different places and so forth this idea of we don't need each other, and we can go it alone. And the Bible is so clear that two are better than one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. A threefold cord cannot be easily broken. The book of Ecclesiastes deals with that subject of friendship and the need. You know, if you fall down, you've got a friend, they'll be there to help you. If you're going it alone, like we heard about recently, about a lady that decided she was going to go camping out in the wilderness in California, and she got lost and was gone for almost 2 weeks, lost in the forest out there. And when they found her, she was frostbitten. She had she was very near death, and she didn't have anybody to help her. Her cell phone didn't work, so she's out there all alone. And you know, it'd have been much better if she had traveled with someone, because she took on the elements, she took on the cold, she took on the snow, took on all those things by herself, and it was a foolish thing to do. They risked 50 men's lives to find her. One of them dealt with a lion, mountain lion, had to be killed because it was in the path of where they were going looking for her. These men put their lives at risk looking for one person. It's always better. Two are better than one. And I'm going to be dealing with this subject because I'm hearing from different ministries and things that are going on in churches and so forth like that that are very disappointing. Because we're treating our brothers and sisters in Christ so crassly, so foolishly, when we should be fellowshipping with each other and building a friendship bond together in Jesus Christ. But foolish pride, arrogance, I know better than everybody else. God speaks to me. He doesn't speak to anybody else in the church. God speaks to me only. I want to tell you something. Whenever you hear that come out of the mouth of a preacher that says, God speaks to me, he's not going to speak to you. He's going to speak to me. You can know this immediately. God's not speaking to him. Listen to me now. God's not speaking to them because they're filled with pride. No humble individual would say that. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
No humble individual would say that. God will speak to me before he'll speak to you. Really? That's how you think? Where did you get that from in the Bible? Oh, wait, we're not talking about this. This is an experience of mine. Oh, now we got another problem. We're exalting your experience over the written Word of God. I'm going to be dealing with some things that may step on some toes. But I think the Bible has something to say about biblical friendship and fellowship. And we're going to be looking at some things that we put, artificial standards that we put up in our brains, and we exalt them above the Bible, when we ought to be bringing our artificial standards and putting it in conjunction with the Bible. All right? So let's look at God's Word tonight. Let's look at chapter 18, please, and verse 24. This is one of those verses of scriptures. When I was a boy, I had a problem with not having very many friends. And my mama brought me to this passage of scripture right here. And it awoke my eyes to the problem. The problem wasn't everybody else. The problem was me. You know, when we start pointing fingers at people, look how many you got pointing back. I know that's an old cliche, but it's true. Listen to this verse. A man that hath friends must show himself what? Now, whenever you see words like must, ought, and should, you better perk up your ears, Christian. God's communicating a truth here that needs to be emphasized. A man, and actually that hath was supplied by the translators, a man who wishes to have friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I think the writer of Proverbs here is referring to Jesus Christ. Because I don't know any other friend that sticks closer than a brother to you. And I've got a brother. But there's one that's closer than a brother. And for the Christian, who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The word is honoring the Savior here by establishing a principle for people that claim to be believers in Christ. Christian friendship. We need each other. And we need to understand what the Bible is saying. I'll just tell you a personal story. This happened many, many years ago, over 20 years ago. I went to a wedding. And there were some of the folks in our church that were there at the wedding, and it was over in Pensacola at another church, and we were excited about being over there, and my brother and I got to play our trumpets for that, and they're still married, so that means that our trumpet playing did not cause a major rift in the family. I don't think I could have lived with that if that were the case. But anyway, I saw somebody that I knew. I went over and shook hands with them. And 10 minutes later, I had a fellow come put his arm around me from our church, put his arm around me. I said, "Why did you shake hands with them?" I said, "What? Why did you shake hands with them?" And I said, "Because I want to be friendly." And he said, "That person is disingenuous. You should not shake hands with somebody that's disingenuous." And I said, "Well, you know what? The last time I checked, I'm not God." And I didn't know that. But even still, the Bible doesn't tell me that I can't shake somebody's hand. Maybe a connection could be made and I could be a witness and testimony to them. And maybe they'll get right with God and they won't be disingenuous anymore. But it's not going to work your way. And I was indignant in my response. I was shocked that I was told that I shouldn't shake hands with somebody because in that man's circle of influence, he thought that that individual over there was disingenuous and that you shouldn't shake hands with them. What is that? I was being held to another person's standard and I didn't even know anything about this individual. Come to find out, they were dead wrong. I found out later they were related. Oh, boy! They were related to each other. And there was a family rift. Hello? At that time, I was the assistant pastor, and they came and put their arm around me and said, "Why are you shaking hands with them?" I have never had that ever happen before in my life, and haven't since. We're going to be dealing with the subject here of how we relate to each other in the local church and how we relate to those out in the world. Because I think sometimes we put up these artificial standards that we cling to as if they're biblical doctrines, and they're not. They're not. They're made up in our brains. Don't you like it when people hold you to a standard that they made up themselves? And you're like, where did that come from? Sometimes it's maybe a way that they were taught when they were young. And so they've held and clung to that particular belief, and then they want to hold everybody out here. They want to hold everybody according to this thing that they were done by. But wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to use biblical standards. Do I hear an amen? See there, I told you. I said, I asked for amens because I want to see if everybody's still awake. You know, we're already, you know, 40 minutes into the service and some of you are drifting. Yeah. Eutychus, get out of the third floor quick. All right. Stay with me now. This is too important. Here are two rules. Do you see them in our text? There are two rules here. Number one, friends require friendliness. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb, all right? Okay? I didn't make a 30 on the ACT. I'll just admit that. I'm not telling you what I made, though, because you'd really feel sorry for me. No. What is it that we don't grasp? If I want to fellowship with others, I have to show in my life that I want to have fellowship. I want to be friendly. There are some people that struggle with this. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was out among the people, He was perfectly comfortable by sitting down and having a little child come over. Come on over. Sit in my lap here. Let's talk. Now today, we live in a day and age where people say, oh no, that's a pervert. You know? It's true, right? It's a pervert that wants to have a child come sit in their lap. But you know what? When I was growing up, I used to sit in a lot of people's laps. You know? You'd have an aunt or an uncle say, come on over here, give me a hug. You'd give them a hug and they'd jerk you up and you'd be in their lap and whatever. Sometimes it was a little uncomfortable, I'll admit. Anybody identify with that? All right, yeah. When you get smothered by somebody and you can't breathe and you feel like, has anybody got a snorkel? So you can make it. If you want friends, it requires, everybody say that word,
friendliness.
Friendliness. Now, what is that? What is that? Here's where the modified word dictionary comes out. Okay? It's not Webster's anymore. It's Webster's / put a little slot there and my name. Right? The Webster-Brainerd Dictionary. All right? And I start putting my slant on that. Well, friendliness is based upon whether that person is the ideal person, and I will be friendly. Oh, no, 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 no. You just violated a rule. You've just changed the definition of friendliness. Now let's apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Jesus Christ loved you in spite of your what? Fill in the word.
Sin.
He loved you in spite of your sin. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now you think about how sorry and awful you are. Oh, not me. I'm redeemed. All right? Well, that may be true because it's written in the blood of Jesus Christ. But most people are still rascally. All right? You know what I'm talking about, Mrs. Pepper. She knows what rascally is. Okay, she has little rascals all the time, and I'm not talking about the old television show. She has little rascals in her office that she has to bring in there and deal with. Okay, sweet little children, you know. Their parents think they're the sweetest things on earth. And they come to school, and they do unsweet things. All right? They do unsweet things. Now, can you imagine if Mrs. Pepper said, I'm not dealing with any more children. I will show myself friendly to only sweet children. How long would that last, Mrs. Pepper? You would never talk to anybody in school, would you? Yeah. I'd never talk to another soul ever again. We come up with these artificial standards that aren't in the Bible. The Bible says that if a person wants to have friends, they have to be, say it, friendly. Number two, this is the important one. Good friends are better than family. Now, here's where people start choosing up sides and putting on armbands. You know? Okay, I'm on the red team now. You're over there on the green team. Ha ha! The red team's better than the green team. All right? Put on our little armband. Okay, I'm on the green team. Nobody's better than family. What did Jesus say in his word here? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a family member known as a brother. Wow. The Bible makes this very clear in several passages that spiritual ties are always greater than blood ties. Spiritual ties are always greater than blood ties. And some people don't understand that. They will die for family, and they won't go an inch for somebody else. Because that's all they do. They just focus in on this little one area. Family, 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 family. Wait a minute. We're part of a bigger family, amen? We're in the blood-bought family. The redeemed family. And those ties are much richer and much greater. So this is making very clear that good friends are better than family. Many make excuses for their lack of friends, but the proper conduct to get friends and keep them is not difficult. It's not difficult. You have to approach it biblically. I want to just share a few of these before we wrap up the message tonight. And I'll move ahead here. Artificial standards of fellowship. And I've got several of these that I just wrote down off the top of my head that I have witnessed through the years. Artificial standards that have been erected in people's minds. Number one, I will not fellowship with those that I have a disagreement with. Would I be wrong in saying that we probably disagree with everybody on the planet? We don't have the same view. Some of us don't have the same view of vegetables. Okay? Some of you just love certain vegetables that I can't stand. All right? Brother and I were talking about this the other day. He said, I got black-eyed peas in the yard, butter beans. Bless you, brother. I hope you have an abundance that come in for you this season. But it won't hurt my feelings one iota if you share them with other people. Okay? All right? Because I don't like butter beans. I'm sorry. I put those in my mouth and the first thing that starts happening are dry heaves. Right? You know what happens? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only person on the planet that thinks that way? There's just some things I just don't care for the taste of. My grandmother used to fry liver. Do you know what liver smells like when it's fried in a cast iron skillet? And that smell is embedded in that skillet for time and eternity. And it flavors every other meat that is ever fried in that cast iron skillet. Right, Fran? It does. It does. My grandmother sometimes would take her old cast iron skillet and go throw it in the fire. And she would just, burn it. Bring it back inside, oil it, and get it ready. So she could get rid of some of those flavors that were in there that people said, man, you know, this bacon really tastes bad. It doesn't taste. And the cornbread tastes like liver. How many of you like liver-flavored cornbread? Notice, not one person raised their hand. All right? So we're all in agreement on this one issue. But I'm sure there's some of you that like fried liver. And it may have been your favorite meat growing up. Or maybe you like Vienna sausages. Or maybe you like potted meat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The old potted meat cans that they used to sell? Another one of those is Spam. Woo! You know, Spam was... they put an S in front of it. And I don't know why. But it is Spam all day long. All right? It's like computer spam. It's not good. But, you know, some people, they just love spam. You know, we used to have spam growing up. My mom would fry it up and we would have it. But I have to tell you, it wasn't my favorite meat. But I didn't say anything because I wanted to eat the rest of my meal. Because you complain about the food, you went to your room. And you thought about it for the rest of the evening. And I said, I won't do that again. Okay, it's lonely back here. And there's no food. All right? Now, my point in this is that we're always going to have disagreements. Not everybody thinks the same way. Not everybody has the same ideas. You were trained differently than I was trained. All right? We all have all these things. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Have we forgotten that today? You know, Christian love comes in and just kind of smooths things over a little bit. Yeah, we disagree on certain things or whatever, but that's my brother in Christ. That's my sister in Christ. It's not an essential. Therefore, I'm going to let love rule. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ does for you every second of the day, Christian. When you fail Him, when you lie, when you should be telling the truth, when you shade something to make it look good for you and bad for somebody else, that's still a lie. We fail the Lord on a daily basis. And you know what I have found? He always continues to love us. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine if He applied this to us. Well, I've got a disagreement with Todd Brainerd. I'm not talking to him anymore. What would that mean for me? I would be cut off from Almighty God. But He doesn't do that. Number two, I will not fellowship with those whom I assume are disingenuous. Why did I plug that one in? Okay? Yeah, that person's disingenuous. Why did you shake their hand? I don't know. I just wanted to be friendly. Well, they're disingenuous. Then I find out the backstory. They're related. And the picture was just cleared up immediately. And I said, I'm not getting in the middle of that. I'm going to shake their both of their hands. All right? Because he was being disingenuous with me. Yeah. Don't be intimidated, folks. Stand on the principles of the Word of God. Amen? Don't put up these false, artificial standards. You know, I will only shake hands with, genuine people. Well, how do you know who's genuine and who's not? How many times have you been fooled through the years? Oh my, we've been fooled over and over and over again by people we thought were this way, and we found out they were that way, right? So I walk around like this. I'll shake hands with you. I'm not shaking hands with you. You're disingenuous. All right, how you doing? Hey, well, I'm not shaking hands with you. How you doing over here? What is that? What does that make me? It makes me God. And I'm very uncomfortable in that position because I'm not God. I'm not God. Let God be the determiner of what we should separate over from the standards of His Word. We're going to get into that because the Bible makes it very clear of those areas where we go different ways. Number three, I will not fellowship with those who I assume think differently than I do about certain non-essential issues. There are some people that, you know, they are locked into a one way of thinking. And they apply it to everybody that they know. And if they don't line up with their thinking on this, it's, I'm done with them. But wait a minute. How many of you think that everything you do in your life agrees with God in every area? Oh, I better put my hand down. There's not one of us here in this room, there's not one of us on this planet that is born again, that walks and does everything perfectly in the Christian life. And yet God continues to minister His grace, and He continues to love us, and He continues to comfort us whenever we're sick, and He continues to be with us. No matter what happens, He's with us! And yet we will prop up these little artificial standards. And we make assumptions. And we get into trouble that way. And infighting starts working in. And discord starts working. And what happens to the cause of Christ? It gets turned into this jumbled mass of hurt feelings. And it doesn't have to be that way. If we apply the Bible. Look at number 4. I will not fellowship with those who may dress or act differently than I do. Well, they have no right to ask me anything. Well, let me ask you something. What right did you have to call upon the name of Christ and ask Him to save you from your sin? The only right that you had is that God said to do that. God allows that. Amen? How come we don't? We don't allow that. Don't call upon me to do anything. Listen, we've got to be here to help. We are living in a world that is messed up. We are finding more and more interaction with people. But you know, we're living in tough times, and we're seeing the world, the wheels falling off the wagon. You mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. It's an awful thing that we are witnessing here. And we're dealing with the world, but we're also dealing with our friends in church, and sometimes we treat them worse than we do the world. Is that right? No. Be careful for artificial standards, because they may keep you from being obedient to God's Word. Are you listening to me? Your artificial standard may be keeping you from obeying God's Word. If a man ask of thee, remember that verse? Yeah? Cup of water, cold water. You know that God says that He's going to honor those nations that gave to Israel a cup of cold water? That's powerful. That's powerful. Well, they don't deserve it. They've been mean to Israel. They all deserve it. You give a cup of cold water, God says, I will honor you and allow you to go in the millennial kingdom. Listen, we've got to be careful, and I've gone a little bit over tonight, but we're going to be developing this because I think it's important, because there are many today in our churches that have artificial standards that aren't based in the book. They're just pieces and parts from the book that they base it on. That's not good enough. In context, Christian, we need each other. We need the Lord, yes. But we need each other. Two are better than one. Father in heaven, I pray that You do a work in our hearts. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the flesh, and we start setting up artificial standards in our minds and justifying it with the Bible. But we're not really justifying it with the Bible. It's our own opinion of the Bible rather than what the Bible says. I pray that You'd do a work in our hearts and lives, that we would understand the importance of Christian fellowship and the need to develop the intersection of friendship and fellowship are inseparable. I pray that You would do a work in our hearts, that we would set aside the artificial and go for the real, the genuine, the true teachings of the Word of God. And I pray that You'd give us wisdom as we go through these scriptures together as a church family. We might understand and know what Your Word has to say. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.